RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
Good evening and welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. The con man is here. Moo is away gallivanting once again. It's a busy time of year. Young kids playing baseball. I think Moo's got a little game going on as well. We'll have to get an update as to how his season is going. And speaking of kids, a really big, important show tonight. I've been looking forward to this show for quite some time. It's going to be an enlightening hour with Dr. Jacques Delaire as we talk about helping kids perform. It's an all-important conversation, and we're going to look at what's affecting their performance in school, music, or just around the home. As parents, teachers, and coaches, are we causing the children we interact with to mentally sabotage their own performance? Could it be? Not intentionally, of course, for the most part, but through our words and actions, could we be corrupting the mindset of our children, resulting in a lack of confidence, problems of self-esteem, anxiety, the inability to focus? Well, it's happening all around us. And every day it starts as soon as we're interacting with other people. But there's hope. You know, if we change our mindset as adults, not only do we better ourselves, we better our children, our employees, and everybody around us. Today, as I mentioned, we will visit with Crush favorite Dr. Jacques Delaire, Performance Prime, about his new book, Helping Kids Perform, Mental Skills That Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach Should Master. You can check it all out at helpingkidsperform.com. That's the website dedicated to the book. It's a Crush must read as he sheds light on issues that are impacting, well, children's ability to perform. How exactly does anxiety affect your children's performance? Why is confidence so important to your children's ability to perform? And why do the vast majority of people struggle with this daily? Well, what can you do to reduce this common problem of lack of confidence or confidence building? Why is focusing more not necessarily the answer to your children's performance problems? What drives your stress response, and how can you learn to cope with stressful situations and maybe even turn it to your advantage? And what role do you play in mentally sabotaging your child? Again, we all have the greatest intentions. We all want our kids to achieve and reach their dreams and chase down their goals. But could we unintentionally be sabotaging their performance? We are joined right now with Crush favorite, Dr. Jacques Delaire, Performance Prime. Dr. Delaire, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Well, I've been very excited about this conversation since the book came out. And, you know, this is a real important day, I think, for all of our listeners as we've been sort of pumping this up. You know, we've been spending a lot of time talking about talent development and, you know, the nature versus nurture. Is talent irrelevant? Well, there's bigger things at stake. And we know at this time of year, of course, your clients that you work with on a daily basis, you know, they're right in the middle of their prime performance modes. And how have things been going for you with the book launch and everything you do down south?
Well, I've been actually quite busy doing more and more work in other sports, corporate world, in law enforcement, and so on. So it's been interesting because I'm getting a chance to expand the idea of what I do into a lot of other areas. And the reality of it is the principles that I'm trying to get across to people are relevant and meaningful to their performance, regardless of the job that they do, whether it's a surgeon or a musician, an actor, combat pilot, it doesn't matter. These basic principles relate to all of us.
Well, you know, the book, let's talk about this, Helping Kids Perform. What was the inspiration behind this, Dr. Delaire? I know that, you know, in our last conversations, we were talking about EMTs and firefighters, police, the military. We were talking about, you know, people in general, in their jobs. You know, this book I've had a chance to read. It's absolutely fantastic. It speaks very, very loudly. But I was very interested, you know, looking at your background and your 40 years of experience in the performance world, to see that you focused it back to helping kids. I just wanted to get your mindset as to why you went back to this, and what was the inspiration behind it?
I guess I would have to say that the inspiration has resulted from over four decades of observations on my part, competitive situations where I've seen a lot of young people, kids, teenagers, who inadvertently have been led to the slaughterhouse, so to speak, by the adults around them, who have in fact contributed to the sabotage of their own performance. I've seen kids, as I'm sure you have given your background, Jeff, crying because an adult was berating them about an expected performance that wasn't generated or a result that didn't materialize. And they get beat up by the parents verbally to the point where they're standing there crying and they just don't want to be involved anymore. And we know the statistics about dropout of kids involved in sport and how by age 13, 70% of the kids in organized sport are no longer interested in doing what they do. So I guess the reason for the book is to try to help adults to understand how they sabotage themselves and how by doing so, through their own example, and unfortunately, by the way they teach their kids, they share these behaviors and they teach these behaviors to their kids so that the kids end up doing it to themselves as well as they grow older and probably do the same thing with their own children. And I thought, the root of the problem in many instances is what we experience as young kids in a competitive environment. And perhaps the best way to help kids is to help parents, teachers and coaches, people who are influencers of those young kids, to understand these principles for themselves first and foremost. And if they change the way they approach things, the kids will learn by their own example and by their own lesson how to be better and not sabotage their own performance.
Huh. Well, we often say lead by example. The problem is, if you don't really know how to go about your business, or maybe if you don't even realize you're doing it, that's sometimes a real tough challenge. We're talking with Dr. Jacques Dallaire, author of the new Crush must-read book, Helping Kids Perform, Mental Skills That Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach Should Master. Dr. Dallaire, you just received your doctorate in exercise physiology from the University of Alberta. In 1979, you went to McGill University, went on to work in the Canadian government's Ministry of Fitness and Amateur Sport. And while you were there, you worked in a bunch of sports science support programs and started some very big initiatives that would sort of steer this country in the right direction. Since then, you've been down south working with a bunch of professional athletes and high performers. So it's really interesting to get your perspective of 40 years experience in performance to wrap this around to how parents, teachers, coaches can help their kids, students, and athletes perform. But this isn't just for top performers. What's happening here is we're taking your experiences with top performers and we're wrapping it up into something that's tangible for not just the kids. I've read the book. This could apply to absolutely everybody.
I think the principles, in fact, I know the principles are relevant to every human being on the planet. They were relevant 100 years ago, and they will be relevant 100 years from now, or at least until human beings start to process information fundamentally in a different way. And that's going to take quite a long time. I have been fortunate. I have, over these years that I've been involved in the sport and occupational performance world, I've been involved literally and worked with many thousands of high-performance people. And typically the people I get to work with, probably it's fair to say they would be defined as being in the top 5% in the world at what they do. They really are high performers. Many of them are multiple world champions, series champions, etc. But if I look at what I do, I'm quite simply just an educator. My role is an educational role. I use evaluation. I use coaching. I use training and seminars as group functions or individual functions. But all of those activities are designed to help people to understand exactly how they mentally sabotage their own performance, how that begins, how it evolves, and ultimately how it affects their performance. And I give them some ideas and some tools that help them to understand how to change that. And everything I do is geared around that. The book is no different. It is geared towards helping people to clearly understand the nature of the problem. Because the age-old truth applies. We don't know what we don't know, until we understand the problem clearly. And the first step, I think, is in helping people to understand the problem clearly. And once we do, we're better armed to create the solution that can change our behaviors and change our thought process. And that's what I'm trying to get at with what I'm doing in the book.
Almost borderline common sense right there, isn't it? I mean, for crying out loud.
Well, it is. It is common sense. There's nothing I'm offering that isn't known, hasn't been known already. All I've done, and I've been, I think, fairly successful at doing it, is I've created a framework to explain it in a way that helps a lot of people to really connect the dots and to understand the issue much more clearly. And because of that, they're in a better position to understand how the solution I'm proposing can be implemented in their own life and why it's going to work. And because of that, they have a greater level of trust and a willingness to persevere long enough to create those new habits, because that's ultimately what we have to do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. And that being said, hey, if you have questions for Dr. Dallaire today or concerns or issues that you might be facing with your child, your student, or your athletes, text us. Standard text rates do apply, 10-12-60. If you have questions, get them to us and we'll get them on the air for sure. Well, it's very interesting that you mentioned that this really does apply to anybody, because it doesn't matter what arena of interest you're focusing on. The principles are fairly standard across, I guess, just being a human being, for crying out loud.
Yep, I think you're exactly right. And the truth is, the principles apply because they deal with how we process information. And I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a psychiatrist. That's not my background. It's exercise physiology, as you mentioned. But I have been working on the mental skills side, along with the physical preparation side of the high-performance world, for over 40 years. And my take on this is maybe a little bit different than the general sports psychologist. And the truth is, I'm looking at it in a very pragmatic, performance-oriented way to try to understand how does the way I think in the moment affect ultimately my behaviors and my performance. And once I understand that connection clearly, I can start to take control over the way I think in order to optimize my performance rather than mentally sabotage it. Pretty straightforward, really. It's not rocket science. And I think the simplistic, perhaps, approach that I've developed over the years has allowed a lot of people to connect the dots in a different way, because we've all experienced the things that I talk about. A loss of confidence. How exactly does losing confidence affect our performance? We know it does, but how exactly does it? How does it express itself in our performance? If we don't understand it, we're not in as great a position to fix it.
Well, Dr. Dallaire, maybe if we can have you stay over the break, let's get down to that, because I'm fascinated about this. I want to talk to you about that confidence question. I want to talk to you about the anxiety. And I really do want to get to the root of the issues. What are we doing that we don't realize that could be setting our kids, our students, our athletes down the wrong path, if you're okay to hang around?
I am.
All right. Well, a very exciting conversation today on Crush Performance. Hey, if you have a text question for Dr. Jacques Dallaire, our topic today is helping kids perform, his new book, Mental Skills That Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach Should Master. When we come back, let's get to some of the issues, the warning signs of what you might be doing without even knowing it to sabotage the performance of young people around you. On Crush Performance, stay tuned. More Jacques Dallaire right after this. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We have something for everyone. National sports radio talents like the Fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like Wrestling Soup and the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. News and current event shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger. We've got you covered. You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, please do so. It's crushperformance.com. Get on there to see our blogs, podcasts, and all the links to the performance world. You can also sign up for our newsletter. Hey, congratulations to Mark for qualifying for the TSN 1260 Golf Tournament. He is in the draw to get in the tournament. Stay tuned for more information on that. Another draw coming up later this evening. And today we are talking with Crush favorite Dr. Jacques Dallaire about his new book, Helping Kids Perform. Mental skills that every parent, teacher, and coach should master. Dr. Dallaire, thanks for staying on the line.
My pleasure, Jeff.
Well, again, I just want to reiterate how excited I've been about this conversation. Again, reading the book, it really resonated with me. You know, even working with athletes in professional sport, in Major League Baseball, at the highest level of football and hockey, I can see how some of these, you know, themes and strategies that you talk about in the book, Helping Kids Perform, really do apply, not just for kids, but for athletes and high performers in business, school, music, sport, most certainly. But I really like the idea of the book, the title, Mental Skills for Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach, the people who are influencing the young people out there.
Well, the truth of it is, young kids are not going to read this book. The adults that surround these kids and support these kids are the ones who might read this book. And the truth of it is, they are the ones that teach the kids process and approaches in competitive environments. They do it, whether they realize it or not, by the way they behave, the things they say, and they oftentimes create an environment that might not be the most ideal for the kids to learn something that is a positive learning experience. Even though they intend it to be, they put pressure on them. And I have seen many situations, as I'm sure you have as well, being around baseball as you have in other sports, where adults sometimes put a great deal of pressure on purpose on kids because they think it's going to toughen them up. They think it's going to make them mentally tough if they put this pressure on them. And they don't realize that, in fact, they're making it much harder for the kid to actually achieve the results that both want so desperately. And we don't understand what we're doing, and therefore we do it on an ongoing basis. And that's the intent of the book, is to try to help people to understand what that relationship is. The kids are not listening to this show right now. The only people who are listening to this show are the adults. So what I would say is, if the stuff I'm talking about resonates with you and makes sense in your own life, understand that that is the basic premise of the book, to help you to understand how you can change the way you approach certain things and what the influence of that might be on the young people around you that you do influence.
We're talking with Dr. Jacques Dallaire, author of his new book, Helping Kids Perform, Mental Skills That Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach Should Master. Well, Dr. Dallaire, let's peel back the layers and get to this issue here. Where is this pressure coming from? And what do you think the most common form is? You know, we talk about this, you know, unintentional pressure we put on. Sometimes it is intentional, as you mentioned, which is probably not a very good idea, you know, knowing what we now know. But where does this pressure come and what form does it take? You know, one thing you mentioned in the book is the focus on the outcomes being sort of one of the main premises for this, you know, unnecessary and potentially unwanted and damaging pressure that these kids are feeling. It's not the right focal point if we're trying to really develop and help our kids perform at the top of their game.
I would agree with you. I think the first thing I would say is results are critical. Remember, the world that I work in is the high-performance world. For many of my clients, good results mean the difference between living and dying, literally.
Sure.
So accept right off the bat that for me and in my world, my clients, results are highly important. The real question becomes, how do we make results as good as possible? For the audience that's listening out there, if you happen to have a pencil and a piece of paper close by, I'd like you to jot something down. I want you to write the word results on the right side of the page. I have never, in 40 years plus of doing what I do, with many thousands of high-performance people, not once has anyone come and visited with me and said, my goal is to be a loser. I'd like to fail. Can you show me how to come in last this weekend? Not a single person has ever said, oh, results, they're not important to me. So the question isn't, do people share a desire for good results? The answer categorically is absolutely. Why? Because good results are better than bad results.
Amen. Yes.
Right? The really important question becomes, how do we create results to be as good as they can possibly be in any situation? On that piece of paper, to the left of that word results, I want you to write this down. A times B equals results. I refer to this as the performance equation. And I think that ultimately, this is at the heart. This is the root of the problem for all of us. Results are so important that we tend to focus on results. We worry about results not being good enough. And often that worry happens in the very moment when we're involved in the action, in the performance itself. How many people do you think are worried about the outcome of what they're doing while they're engaged in the process of doing it? All the time. Why? Because we're worried about the consequences of not doing it well enough, in particular when there's a lot at stake. But the truth of it is, the only things required to generate results are A and B. So what does that mean? The A in this equation represents my A game, the knowledge, the skill, and the experience that I bring to my moment of performance. It is what I've got. I can't stand on the starting line and wave a magic wand and have more knowledge, skill, and experience than I have in that moment. What I've got is what I've got, right?
Right.
We can't manufacture it out of thin air. We have to earn it through practice, through experience, and so on. Now, it's not good enough to have it. I also have to put in the effort and make the commitment to bring it to that moment. Because I could be knowledgeable, skillful, and experienced, but be lazy, or sleep-deprived, or dehydrated, or jet-lagged, or preoccupied by the argument I had with my girlfriend, or my spouse, or my boss. There are lots of things that cause us to generate an A-minus kind of performance, and we try to minimize those through training, through good nutrition, through all the other things that we do to get ourselves to the starting line in the best position possible to generate the performance that we're looking for. And let's say, for argument's sake, that at the next competition in which I'm involved, or your child is involved, let's say they bring their A game, their honest to God best A game, to the performance. Simple question: are they guaranteed to get the outcome that they want?
Yeah, no guarantees in this. No guarantees in this world. That's for darn sure.
No guarantee.
Right.
They may deliver the best performance of their life, and they might not even finish the race. Why? Because there's a second variable in this performance equation. Because if all it took was for us to bring our A game to what we do, who in their right mind wouldn't simply bring their A game if they were guaranteed to win? And how actually does that work when there's a lot of other competitors vying for the same prize? Obviously, it can't. And it doesn't, because it doesn't read A equals results. So what are the B factors? The B factors, by definition, are all the factors that are outside of my control. Weather, bad luck, what the other competitors do. As soon as we have even a single other competitor we can't control what that competitor does. They exist as a B factor in this environment. And they may simply be better than me on that day. Is it not true that in life in general, certainly in sport, the results we achieve are a product of the things we bring to the moment of our performance, influenced by the many things that we can't control? Not always B minus. Sometimes they're B plus. Sometimes they actually work in our favor, and we're the windshield instead of being the bug. Other times they're B minus, and they work against us. Sometimes the Bs are very large, and they have a significant influence on the outcome. Sometimes they're small. They exist, but they're kind of inconsequential and don't really have much of an effect on the outcome. You agree with that equation?
I agree with that equation 100%. And the great thing about this equation is, you know, at the end of the day, I guess A is the real thing that matters, but I guess it's how an individual deals. Another trainable factor, I guess, that we could talk about, and you're making me think about it, is how you deal with those B variables is also very important to the outcome. So maybe, you know, all things
And how you deal with poor results.
Right.
And how does that affect confidence?
Yeah, right.
And what's the impact of a loss of confidence on your performance? Those are the interesting questions, aren't they?
Yeah, they
because
sure are.
The truth of it is, in this simple equation, A times B equals results, here's the basic truth. You cannot control results, because you can't control the B factors in the equation. The only thing that you have full control over is the A in this equation. Would you agree with that?
I do.
How many of us worry while we're engaged in doing whatever it is we do, are worried about the outcome of what we're doing? It happens all the time.
Yep, all the time.
And when has the act of worrying about an outcome ever made the outcome better? Never. The sheer act of worrying about outcome has never made the result better. In fact, it makes it worse.
So,
because you violate rule number 2 of the mental road.
Right. Well, there are 7 rules on the mental road in the book. We're talking with Dr. Jacques Dallaire, author of his new book, Helping Kids Perform: Mental Skills That Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach Should Master. You've outlined 7 very powerful rules to the mental road. Number 1, if you want to climb out of a hole, the very first thing you must do is stop digging. Number 2, as you just alluded to, the mind can only actively process one thought at a time. That's a powerful one, Dr. Dallaire.
Yeah, I think that one's worth mentioning a few words about. And I'll just come back to the rule number 1. If you want to climb out of a hole, the very first thing you have to do is put the shovel down and stop digging. And the reason for that is we can't be thinking positively and in a task-focused way if we're thinking about something else and we're negative. So it demands that we become more vigilant and eavesdrop on our own internal mind chatter so that we catch ourselves in that slippage of thinking that becomes more and more negative as things go south for us. And the sooner we catch ourselves digging, the shallower the hole is, and the easier it is to redirect our thinking to something that's positive and productive or task-focused.
I like it.
Rule number 2 is a really critical rule. The mind can only actively process one thought at a time. And given a bit of time here, I could prove it to you that this is true. But you'll just have to take my word for it.
I do. We got to cut out for a break here right away. But I like it. And you're right. One thought at a time for sure. Hey, let me ask you this. I do have a text coming here I want to get to. Just before we get into that, maybe we can attack these rules right after the break. But we just had a great text come in. It says, my child trains hard, is disciplined, has above average skills, and enjoyed his sport and friends and the friends within it. But come tryouts, he's not able to translate his preparation and abilities into successful results. He says he doesn't know why. And as parents, we don't know how to help him. Unfortunately, I'm sure it's common. And I guess this is a text we'll probably see time and time again. In a minute or so, can you respond to that text really quickly, Dr. Dallaire?
I'd be happy to and give you my feedback based on my experience.
When we come back, we'll get to that text. We'll go over the rules of the mental road with Dr. Jacques Dallaire, author of the new book, Helping Kids Perform: Mental Skills That Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach Should Master, right here on Crush Performance. Stay tuned. More to come.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous sports babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com and join us Wednesday evenings at 7, Saturdays at 4. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. We are joined by Dr. Jacques Dallaire, author of the new book, Helping Kids Perform, Mental Skills for Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach. Dr. Dallaire, just before the break, we had a text come in. My child trains hard, is disciplined, has above average skills, and enjoyed his sport and friends within it. But come tryouts, he was not able to translate his preparation and abilities into successful results. He says he doesn't know why, and his parents, we don't know how to help him. Unfortunately, I'm sure it is common, and you and I both know it is all too common. Dr. Dallaire, why do you think that a really good, well-rounded, high skill set sometimes doesn't translate into results?
Well, I think I'm going to offer a very simplistic explanation to what I think this issue is. And it really revolves around the distinction between mindset and skill set. People talk about mental skills, and they talk about it as kind of a flat element, as a single element. But in reality, it is two different things. There's a mindset component and a skill set component. And what we're talking about, the difference between these two, explains why someone can do super well in a practice situation, to go to the big event and choke, and then come back to practice the following day and win practice again. Is it because in the big event, they lost the skill that they developed through practice? Is it because they forgot how to do it successfully? The answer, of course, is no. What is different? What's different is something has happened in their mindset in that environment that has corrupted the ability to bring their skill sets to bear on the task in front of them.
Right.
Something got in the way of their fully expressing the skill sets that they've developed through training when they get into that performance environment. And it comes back to the performance equation. What do young kids who are going in to challenge something, they want it badly, they're not sure if they're going to be up to the task, and they start worrying about what? How well they're going to do.
Yeah, the outcomes, the results.
Whether people are going to laugh at them.
Right.
What people are going to think of them if they fail. That fear of failure is a powerful force. And the problem is, when we focus on that, we violate rule number two of the mental rote. Rule number two says the mind can only actively process one thought at a time. So here's what that rule really means. It means if we're focused on the wrong thing at the same moment in time, we can't be focused on the right thing. Isn't that true?
That's very simple, and yes, it speaks volumes and very, very loud and clear.
The solution is the reverse of that. If I'm focused on the right thing, I can't be focused on the wrong thing at the same moment in time.
Right. Do you think this is where a lot of parents and coaches and teachers make the big mistake? You know, they sort of steer the focus into the wrong things?
Yeah, I think most of us steer them to focus on results because results are so important.
Right.
We say with our words, we say, oh, you know, the key is to have fun. It's just to go out there and have fun and play. But, and we always add a but generally to that equation, but it's really important because if you don't win or you don't qualify in the top 10, you won't get on the team. So everything that happened before the but becomes irrelevant in their ears.
Right.
The only thing that becomes relevant is if you don't qualify in the top 10, you won't be on the team. And we don't even necessarily have to say it. Other people around them are talking about it. It's only the best 10 that get to play on the team. The other guys don't get to play. They get to go home. So we are steered towards focusing on results all the time. And then we worry like heck about the things that might derail us from the results we so desperately want. And here's the thing in that performance equation. If we're focused on the results or we're focused on the B factors, we can't be focused on the A in that equation at the same moment in time. And the truth is, that's the only thing we can control. And the quality of our A is what drives the results anyway. And I can tell you, having evaluated, one of the questionnaires that I use in my profile looks at how a person's central processor is distributed amongst these different variables when they're engaged in their performance. And here's what I get. 30 to 35% of our dominant thought typically is directed towards outcome, results. 10 to 12% is worried about failing, screwing up, not being good enough. And only 50 to 55% of our dominant thought is actually directed to the A in this equation. And this is with the best in the world at what they do.
Wow.
Except for when they're in that sweet spot place, that when they're in the zone, whatever you want to call it. When they're in that place, guess how the numbers change? 0% is worried about the B. Only 5 to 10% is focused on outcome. 90 to 95% of their focal direction is on the execution in front of them. And here's an interesting thing about anxiety. Anxiety in performance only occurs when we step out of the mode of doing and we slip into the judgment mode about how we're doing. And we start worrying that we're not going to do well enough.
Right.
Think about it.
No.
When you've been in that sweet spot, there's no anxiety whatsoever, is there? In fact, there's a serenity. There's a calmness that exists, even amidst a fierce intellectual and maybe even physical intensity. There's an emotional calmness when we're in that good place. And anxiety only happens when our focus shifts away from the act of execution, typically to be directed to the worry about not doing it well enough. So when your child shows anxiety, you can know right off the bat that their focal point is not on the task in front of them, but is more likely directed to the outcome of the task.
Right. And
they're fearing that they're not going to get it.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. And that goes back to sort of the rules. You know, number three, you cannot not think about whatever's on your mind, most certainly. Number four, your dominant thought determines your emotions. That's kind of what you're talking about here.
Yep.
But number five, you are in control of your dominant thought. That's another powerful one for me, Dr. Dallaire, because if you can understand that you are in control of your dominant thought, man, I could wake up to serenity every single day. I need to master this skill.
Yeah, well, it's a question of mental control. And that's why people say to me often, okay, so if I understand this correctly, all I have to do is focus, right? How many times do we hear a coach or a parent say, Bobby, you're not focused. You have to focus more. If you focus more, you'll do better.
Right.
That isn't the solution, because I'll ask you a simple question. If the thing you're focused on is the wrong thing, how does focusing more help?
Amen.
It doesn't, does it?
No, it can't.
It actually makes the problem worse. So the secret to performance is not focusing more. The secret is focusing correctly. And if you are correctly focused, that is to say, related to the execution of what you're doing, you'll never suffer performance anxiety that crushes your confidence and, in fact, allows you to sabotage yourself.
We're talking with Dr. Jacques Dallaire of Performance Prime, the author of his new book, Helping Kids Perform, Mental Skills That Every Parent, Teacher, and Coach Should Master. Well, that's a big one, you know, and you hear it all the time at every single level. Focus, focus, especially, you know, in some of the more skill-oriented and even some of the individual sports. At some point in time, every sport's an individual sport. You know, it's you and the ball. You certainly have teammates. But I love this idea of, you know, harnessing your focus, but what you focus on. Not so much how hard or how much you focus on your focal point, but what you're focusing on is the secret. I like this concept a lot.
It really is that simple. And I've worked, as I said, with some of the top performers in the world in lots of different areas, maybe more than 50, 60 professions. And these principles hold true for them, whether it's a businessman negotiating a multi-billion dollar deal, a surgeon operating on somebody's brain in a trauma center, a musician playing a piece of music at Carnegie Hall, a race car driver, or a batter going to bat in the final inning in a tie game in the World Series final. These principles are relevant, and they speak to how the way we think influences our performance in that moment. And that's the only thing that's relevant. Everything else exists as noise in that moment. The Holy Grail, the single most important mental ability, is to focus correctly in the moment, connected to what we're doing, directed towards the execution of what we're engaged in. To the exclusion of everything else
right.
that exists as noise that simply corrupts that mindset that leads to our best performance.
Yeah, and I guess that's where, you know, the environments we create are so important, Dr. Dallaire. You know, we have such a performance outcome-orientated environment no matter what we're doing. It's, you know, gotten to the point where we're all scared to kind of make mistakes. Can you imagine? Because this is a learned art form, learning what to focus on. That's a trial and error thing just like everything else. So, you know, being in an environment where it's okay to fail, make an adjustment, come back, learn how to focus, how powerful is that in the developmental world? Dr. Dallaire, we only have a couple minutes left. I'd just like to finish this off. If you could, you know, just a final word to our parents, our coaches, and our teachers out there who are listening in today as we sort of wrap up this hour that's gone all too quickly.
Well, I guess I would offer a single thought as we close up this show. And it has to do with helicopter parenting. I talk a little bit about helicopter parenting in my book. And I've observed many instances of helicopter parenting. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it means the parent who hovers over their child and swoops down to clear any stone in their path and effectively denies them the opportunity to fail because success is so important to their life. Success at a young age determines what high school we get in, and that determines what college we get in and what kind of job we might get. There are some parents that are so obsessively controlling that they never allow their kids to fail to the point where they step in and they are spending the night up before the homework assignment is due, working on the project with their kids to make sure that the kids don't fail or get a poor grade.
Dr. Dallaire,
failure is a good thing.
It's part of the process. Dr. Dallaire, listen, we are out of time, unfortunately. Listen, thank you so much for your time today. Great, great advice. The book, everybody, Helping Kids Perform. Check out the website. It is helpingkidsperform.com. Dr. Dallaire, thank you for your time tonight.
You're quite welcome, Jeff. I enjoyed it, and my thanks for your attention.
Absolutely. We'll do this again very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show. Hey, we'll be back next week talking more performance topics as we delve into the concept of relative age.
And we'll continue this discussion on what we can do to help our kids perform on Crush Performance. We'll talk to you next time.